It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, heading down the home stretch.
We're rounding the turn. It's going to be over.
Going to be a hard fight.
That is our top story at noon. 8 days to go before the big vote, and the candidates are making their final case.
This is not the crowd that comes in second, okay?
Everything is at stake, from the environment to our health.
Joe Biden is off the campaign trail today. He'll be in Georgia tomorrow. President Trump has three campaign stops in Pennsylvania today. He's in Allentown right now.
Thank you very much, Allentown. Thank you very much, Allentown. 8 days, you believe that? 8 days from now, we're going to win the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and we are going to win four more great years in the White House.
The president says if elected, Joe Biden would get rid of the oil industry. Mr. Trump says that would be an economic death sentence for states like Pennsylvania.
Last week, Sleepy Joe Biden made perhaps the most shocking admission ever uttered in the history of presidential debates. In other words, he blew it. On live television, Joe Biden confirmed his plan to abolish the entire U.S. oil industry.
The president says thousands of jobs would be lost in Pennsylvania if Joe Biden wins the White House. For 60 million Americans, though, their decision has already been made. They've already voted.
I like to be the first at any opportunity I have, so it just felt right to go and vote early.
There's some things you just shouldn't put off till tomorrow, and this is one of them.
With 32 states now voting early, the campaigns took their messages to prime time last night. Both President Trump and Joe Biden sitting down with 60 Minutes, where the president cut short his interview with Leslie Stahl.
Your first statement was, are you ready for tough questions?
Are you?
That's no way to talk. I think we have enough of an interview here, Hope. Okay, that's enough. Let's go.
Joe Biden was grilled by Nora O'Donnell, where he was asked if he's taking a win for granted this election.
You have held a steady lead in the national and state polls, but so did Hillary Clinton 4 years ago. Could Donald Trump still win this?
Sure. I'm one of those folks or competitors. It's not over till the bell rings.
Joe Biden says he's taking nothing for granted this election. Amy Coney Barrett expected to be confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court tonight. That is the other big story today. Republicans have the votes in the Senate to get it done.
This evening, about 7:30 at night, Judge Amy Coney Barrett will become Justice Amy Coney Barrett.
Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz.
This is an historic victory. I think this may well be the single most important decision President Trump has made in his 4 years in office.
A swearing-in ceremony being planned at the White House tonight right after that vote in the Senate. Another COVID outbreak in the West Wing. Five people close to Vice President Mike Pence have tested positive for coronavirus. Pence has not and will continue campaigning for the president.
Just because there's a pandemic doesn't mean that we can't stop. The vice president obviously has great knowledge about the disease and the pandemic.
Trump advisor and son-in-law Jared Kushner. With the U.S. setting a single-day record for COVID cases this past weekend, some health officials are concerned the pandemic could be heading into its darkest days yet. Dr. Deborah Birx coordinates the White House's coronavirus task force. She says we can still get this thing under control.
The future does look devastating right now for the number of cases that we see, the potential of the rise in cases. But we can stop that community spread if we work together.
Coronavirus cases hit a new U.S. high of 83,000 on Friday. The unwelcome mat is expanding at airports across the country. Correspondent Elaine Cobb explains.
It used to be mainly for suspected terrorists, but now the no-fly list is filling up with names of people who refuse to wear masks on a plane. Delta has added 460 people to its no-fly list for refusing to comply with the requirement. United Airlines has a similar policy.
That's Elaine Cobb reporting. In Northern California, wildfire worries have prompted forced power outages in some places. This woman says without any power, she might not get evacuation orders if they're issued.
I don't have any phone or internet connection through Comcast because their power supply is relying on PG&E.
Meantime, in Colorado, snow and cold helping firefighters get the upper hand on some wildfires there. The Dodgers are one win away.
The L.A. Dodgers haven't won a World Series since 1988. They are now one game away from winning the 2020 World Series. Los Angeles beats the Tampa Bay Rays 4-2 here in Game 5. The Dodgers now lead the best of seven series 3-2.
Steve Futterman reporting still to come this Monday. President Trump in Pennsylvania, early voting in New York, and professional basketball. In Buffalo,
this is meteorologist Ken McKinley. The cloud cover will stay solid through the afternoon with some showers from time to time and cool temperatures. Most areas in the 40s, a couple of spots in central New York and eastern Pennsylvania, able to push into the low 50s. Full forecast details are coming your way in about 10 minutes.
Okay, Ken, filling in for Kevin Williams at the Weather Center today, checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Monday, October 26th. President Trump is in the Keystone State right now. He's going to be holding three campaign events today.
Pennsylvania is paramount to his election. Look at how many times he's been to Pennsylvania in the last couple weeks.
The president speaking to supporters right now in Allentown. He'll be in Lititz, PA this afternoon, and he'll wrap up his day in Martinsburg, PA tonight.
We're seeing in a state like Pennsylvania, which Trump narrowly won in 2016, offer an opening for President Trump now, especially on this issue of Biden supporting eliminating fracking.
Jessica Anderson with Heritage Action for America says Biden's recent comments about oil and fracking could tip the Keystone State for President Trump on Election Day.
This is a state that knows very much what it's like to lose an entire industry overnight. You look at Black Monday of 1977 with the steel mills closing down. Voters remember that. It's talked about on their kitchen table.
Anderson says fracking might be the issue that wins Pennsylvania for President Trump. Early voting started this past weekend in New York. As expected, turnout's been high. Really high.
Even though the lines are long, I prefer if I wait until the voting day, they'll even be twice as long because there's such a big turnout for voting, and that's really important. So I thought I'd rather wait now than November 3rd.
I feel like coming in earlier, it's going to be less of a hassle on the day of election. I feel like everyone's just going to mass converge.
A couple of early voters there in Buffalo. These voters in Syracuse waited for over an hour in line to cast their ballots.
I did not want to wait until election day. If I'm going to vote early, I might as well vote the first day.
I've never experienced it before. In all the years that I've voted in New York, I've never had to stand in the line for an hour.
Interest is high. Jeremy Zellner is with the Erie County, New York Board of Elections.
They seemed like they wanted to make their voice heard in a big way and do it quick. We had people lined up very early in the morning, way before the polls even opened, to get their voice heard. And so there just seems to be a lot of excitement out there for election 2020.
Early voting continues through Sunday, November 1st in New York. The police chief at SUNY Brockport says university police will no longer be using the thin blue line flag for official law enforcement events at SUNY Brockport. The chief says that flag has been hijacked by the Blue Lives Matter and white supremacists to undermine the Black Lives Matter movement. And NYPD cops suspended without pay after encouraging folks to vote for President Trump while on the job. Here's correspondent Scott Pringle.
A video shows the officer using a bullhorn to say Trump 2020 over the patrol car loudspeaker. Now, police commissioner calls this unacceptable, saying officers cannot be political while working. These folks are reacting.
You cannot use it, your job, as a protest.
No, maybe a warning.
But this guy says if this officer is going to be suspended.
And so should the chief of police who took a knee to Black Lives Matter. They should be totally neutral.
Referring to Chief Terry Monahan months ago during protests. Scott Pringle, New York.
Thank you, Scott. Two new states meet the criteria to be added to New York's COVID-19 travel advisory. Massachusetts and California both have caseloads that supersede the allotted infection rate. Massachusetts is a border state and is unlikely to be added to the list because other border states like Pennsylvania, which met the criteria last week, were not added. The travel advisory requires folks from over 40 states to quarantine for 2 weeks after they visit New York, bringing professional basketball to Buffalo. State Senator Tim Kennedy says it could happen.
The fact that we had the Blue Jays play here and our community came together in a moment's notice and were able to host not only this incredible Major League team, but doing it in such short order was a demonstration of what we have as a community.
Kennedy says the Key Bank Center in the Queen City could serve as a temporary home for the Toronto Raptors if the U.S.-Canadian border stays closed through the upcoming NBA season. The cross-border restrictions forced the Toronto Blue Jays to move their home games to Buffalo this past summer. Fall turkey season starts this weekend in Pennsylvania. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
Pennsylvania's fall turkey season kicks off Saturday in 19 of Pennsylvania's 23 wildlife management units with more fall turkey hunting, including the return of a three-day Thanksgiving season just around the corner in much of the state. As for turkeys, the most recent population estimates come from the spring when the statewide turkey population was estimated at 196,000, 7% below 2019's estimates. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. As mentioned earlier, the Dodgers now just a win away. It is sunny time. Your two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start with the World Series. The Dodgers jumped out to an early lead, held on to beat the Rays 4-2 in Game 5. Max Muncy went deep in the fifth for L.A., who are now just one win away from their first World Series title since 1988. Max says that's all that matters.
You know, I say all the time that the stats and all that kind of stuff doesn't matter to me, except for maybe walks, just because that means I'm getting on base. I'm giving my team a chance to score runs. All I care about is winning postseason. That's all any of us care about.
Game 6 is tomorrow. To East Rutherford, it was the Tyler Bass Show. Hitting 6 of 8 field goals, the Bills held on to beat the Jets 18-10, and that's all that matters to Josh Allen.
Again, it's a division win. You know, we're going to take these when we can get them. We're going to take all wins we can get them. You know, wins aren't easy in the NFL, so again, it's a win.
The Bills are 5-2. The Jets Jets fall to 0-7. From the winless to the unbeaten. Battle of 5-0 teams, Steelers and Titans. Steelers with the 27-7 lead. The Titans come roaring back and have a chance to send it to overtime.
For the tie, Gostkowski. No good.
But Steven Gostkowski missed that field goal. Steelers win 27-24 to improve to 6-0 for the first time since 1978. The Titans fall to 5-1. In the battle of OH, the Browns battle back.
Mayfield towards the end zone. It is caught. Was he in? Yes! Donovan Peoples-Jones!
That's your game winner. Browns beat the Bengals 37-34. Bad news for the Browns. Odell Beckham Jr. done for the rest of the year with a torn ACL. To college football, Syracuse humbled by number one Clemson 47-21. Number three Notre Dame crushing Pitt 45-3. And a heartbreaker for number eight Penn State.
Opening, rolls near side, goes to the corner, dives to the corner. He didn't get there. No, they say he did. They say he hit the pylon and Indiana wins.
Indiana wins 36-35. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
What a game. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, President Trump in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Right now, we'll take you there. Plus, Amy Coney Barrett about to go to the High Court and a 170-mile walk for America's war heroes.
Anybody else dizzy by how quickly things went from being unthinkable to unquestionable? Well, a new book explains why. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In a famous scene in the 1979 Monty Python film Life of Brian, which I don't recommend, a character named Stan announces that he wants to become a woman. He wants to be called Loretta. True to Monty Python form, the whole exchange is treated as a joke, and in the process, the very idea of changing sexes is mocked as a, quote, struggle against reality. Well, just last week, in a town hall discussion, the current frontrunner in the election for the presidency of the United States said, in absolute terms, that an 8-year-old boy should be allowed to identify as a girl and that both the law and society should treat him as such. No one's laughing anymore. What exactly happened to usher in this new orthodoxy that often involves chemical manipulation and even surgical mutilation? How did this whole thing move from an expression of adult freedom to experimentation on children? How does the unthinkable become unquestionable? Well, in a new book, one of America's top theologians argues that what's at work is far more than just a sudden change in our views on morality. Rather, a much older and a more subtle revolution in how Western people think about themselves that is now bearing fruit. And the rise and triumph of the modern self, cultural amnesia, expressive individualism, and the road to sexual revolution, Grove City professor Carl Truman makes the case that our ever-growing alphabet of identity claims is, in fact, based on an idea that Westerners embraced a long time ago. Alternate reality, we've come to believe, is to be found within ourselves. The external world, including our bodies, those are just a canvas for expressing what we know to be true from within. Truman joined my colleague Shane Morris for a discussion on the new Colson Center podcast, Upstream. During the discussion, Truman described this idea that he calls expressive individualism as the root of our culture's growing sexual insanity and its disconnectedness from reality. For most of Western history, hard physical realities such as the seasons, the land, the harvest, the community, shaped our lives, and the teaching of Scripture and the Church shaped a common understanding of human identity. For our Western forebears, it was the world and the biblical story that described the objective order into which our lives fit. But many factors converged to change all this. Grand improvements and accomplishments in technology offered the very strong impression that we were sovereign over nature. We were in control of where we got food, how we traveled, even when we were born and when we died. And the banishment of God from science, philosophy, and politics, echoing the tempter's boast in Eden, convinced us that we just don't live according to a design. We can rather be our own gods. The cultural changes that resulted from these ideas have been remarkable and tragic. Thus, a man can become a woman, a boy can become a girl, and no amount of medication or mutilation is too high a price to pay for self-expression. In this conversation on the Upstream podcast and in his new book, Truman describes the problem in both realistic and sobering terms. But he also offers Christian hope, hope that's grounded in a sobering analysis, as well as the ultimate triumph of life over death and truth over lies. His tremendous new book provides an essential analysis of what has happened in our culture. Check out the conversation between Carl Truman and Shane Morris on the Upstream podcast. Come to Breakpoint.org. We'll link you to it. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour, Monday afternoon, let's head outside. Meteorologist Ken McKinley filling in for Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Kind of cold and raw outside this afternoon. Many areas staying in the 40s. It may be able to nudge into the 50s in some central New York locations, as well as northeastern Pennsylvania. But even there, it's not going to get unusually warm for this time of the year. The clouds will be solid through the afternoon. A couple of showers from time to time. The showers may end tonight, but the clouds will remain. And tomorrow we'll see some more shower activity, mostly later in the afternoon and during the evening. But there may be some lake effect showers. Hours along the Lake Ontario shoreline for a time in the morning tomorrow. The precipitation won't be all that heavy. Temperatures tomorrow, again, rather chilly. We should see things begin to clear out tomorrow night, and Wednesday looks like a much more pleasant day with some sunshine, a brisk breeze, but warmer temperatures with all areas on Wednesday getting into the 50s.
All right, Ken McKinley filling in for Kevin Williams this afternoon. We appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Monday, October 26th. President Trump spending the day in PA.
Thank you very much, Allentown. Thank you very much, Allentown.
The president is in the Lehigh Valley today, where he said Joe Biden's recent comments about phasing out the oil industry will kill thousands of jobs in the Keystone State.
Biden's plan is an economic death sentence for Pennsylvania's energy sector. I think you all know that.
President Trump will be in Lancaster County later this afternoon, where these voters have already cast their ballots.
A lot of folks trying to vote this year.
We saw the lines were quite extensive in other states, so we figured it'd be long here.
Nearly 60 million Americans have already voted. Both campaigns were on 60 Minutes last night, where President Trump was grilled about his response to COVID-19.
All these people jammed in together, and I'm seeing most of them without masks. And I'm wondering the message that you're sending with these pictures coming across television.
Take a look. Yesterday,
tell me about
you're so
the mask
negative.
Wear.
You're so negative. These are the biggest rallies we've ever had. You just come in here with that negative attitude.
Mr. Trump cutting short that interview with Leslie Stahl. Amy Coney Barrett expected to be confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court tonight. Republicans have the votes in the Senate to make it happen.
The Senate is doing the right thing. We're moving this nomination forward, and colleagues, we'll have a new member of the United States Supreme Court.
That is Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. He says the Senate will vote tonight to confirm Barrett to the High Court. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Confirming a lifetime appointment this late into a presidential election season is outrageous.
Despite a COVID outbreak among his staffers, Vice President Mike Pence expected to preside over tonight's historic vote to confirm Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court. One day after saying the U.S. is not going to control the pandemic, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is planning an event for after tonight's Senate vote to confirm Coney Barrett.
We're doing tonight doing the best we can to encourage as much social distancing as possible. It'll be outdoors if it goes off as planned right now.
Meadows says every precaution will be taken to make sure attendees are safe for tonight's swearing-in ceremony for Amy Coney Barrett at the White House. The U.S. could see over 500,000 deaths from COVID-19 by the end of February. That grim projection comes from researchers at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. If everyone committed to mask wearing, however, the study suggests almost 130,000 deaths could be avoided. A major airline is intent on enforcing a face mask policy. Correspondent Diane King Hall says there could be lasting consequences for violators.
Passengers who refuse to cover their faces during flights are being added to Delta's no-fly list. 460 people have already been banned from its planes. Delta says it's committed to doing what it can to stop the coronavirus from spreading, even though it just posted a quarterly loss of nearly $5.4 billion.
That is Diane King Hall reporting. Firefighters in northern Colorado getting help today from the snow and the cold.
Fire officials say this precipitation likely won't be enough to put out large fuels and won't dampen much under the canopy, but what it will do is add a lot of moisture to the rest of the fire area and give crews a chance to really get ahead of the fire.
Meantime, in California, parts of that state could see the kind of winds that led to devastating fires last year and in 2018.
Based on the fire behavior that we've been seeing this year, it's a very big concern.
People who live near fire danger are bracing for a worst case scenario.
Yeah, I am worried because I do live in an area where there's grass and fields. So yeah, it's a concern.
Pray for the firemen. Pray for the people who are out in this weather that they just stay safe.
Both California and Colorado seeing the worst wildfire seasons in decades. America's pediatricians are out with new guidance on opioids and newborns. Here's correspondent Vicki Barker.
Hard figures are hard to come by, but it's estimated about 80 babies a day are being born to opioid-addicted mothers. Yet the American Academy of Pediatrics says effective treatment for both is patchy and inconsistent at best. It now says all hospitals should have protocols in place to assess which women and newborns might need help and then getting them the proper treatment.
That is Vicki Barker reporting. Tomorrow marks the two-year anniversary of the deadly mass shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. 11 people were killed, several others hurt, after a gunman opened fire on October 27, 2018. It remains the deadliest anti-Semitic attack in the country's history. Man has gotten the better of some giant hornets. Here's correspondent Steve Kaffin.
Crews in Washington State have destroyed the first nest of murder hornets found in the U.S. It was about the size of a basketball and contained upwards of 200. Crews wearing thick protective suits vacuumed them out into large canisters in the town of Blaine near the Canadian border.
Steve Kaffin reporting the hornets kill about a dozen people a year in Asia and destroy entire hives of honeybees. Retailers are planning for ways to get shoppers through their doors this holiday season, with in-store shopping expected to drop 25% because of the pandemic. Stores are turning to buy online, then pick up in store. Whole Foods, Target, and Walmart are all offering perks for the upcoming holiday shopping season. We are coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, Monday afternoon. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we talk about the issues that matter most to our public schooling families with the one and only Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute. Ralph, you've worked at all levels of education, from academia to administration. Maybe some of our listeners don't know this, but you were a superintendent of a local school district in the area a while ago, so you've seen it all in the classroom. Just put yourself in the shoes of our school administrators, namely the superintendents right now, and the struggle they must be going through in this pandemic, not knowing what's going to happen from one minute to the next with these school closures. Talk about what they're going through right now.
Well, I appreciate the question, because my heart goes out to everybody involved in education just now. There are so many changes, and certainly for the superintendent who has the big picture in every district, it's a case of trying to, first of all, accomplish the mission of educating the children, but then with that in mind, trying to figure out how do you keep the children and the teachers and the support staff safe while you're trying to educate the children. And then compounding the issue is the fact that between the governor and the state education department, the rules seem to be changing so frequently that one day you've got to test everybody that's in your care. The next day, no, we're not going to do that. And superintendents are just being pushed back and forth by all those competing forces, which makes their job very, very difficult in these trying days.
Yeah, not knowing how long this may go on. It's not like a snowstorm where you can say, okay, in 2 days we're back to normal.
Right.
I heard estimates as far out as 2024 that this kind of, boy, I hope that's wrong, because I don't know if I could take it that long, but it's the uncertainty. And another one of the sad sidebars to this pandemic, Ralph, has been the toll it's taking on children's emotional health. We've been talking about it on this program for a long time. Not having sports, not having extracurricular activities, not having those friendships in school, those human contacts. What sort of impact is that having on the overall health of children?
Well, it's having a significant impact. The study was just released by Boston University that shows that the particularly teenagers, 52% of the teenagers that were surveyed, and this was a huge survey, said that they were much more concerned than usual about their health, both in terms of their physical health and their mental health. They said that they have symptoms of increased worry about things, loss of sleep, feeling depressed, and this is the big one for me, the loss of confidence in themselves. Because if a youngster, you know, begins to lose confidence in themselves, that just brings on, again, all of the other issues that we've talked about. Yeah. And I want to just give a word of encouragement to our listeners today, that if you're involved either personally as far as your own children, or if you have other children that you come in contact with, be sure to reach out to them and let them know that you care about them and that others care about them, and obviously that Jesus cares about them as well.
My heart breaks for, you know, it's not all Leave It to Beaver days either, where these are strong homes where kids are coming from. A lot of these homes are abusive homes, alcoholic homes, substance abuse homes. And the only safety a lot of these kids have is at school, and they don't have that now.
That's very, very true, and it's a sad statement, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the shelter-in-place orders have done us no good service either when it comes to what that's done to our childhood obesity rate. Talk about that for a little bit, if you would, Ralph.
Well, listen, talk about obesity, Bob. I haven't seen you for a while. I'm not going to make any judgment about you, and you haven't seen me either, but I can tell you this. I know I've been less active, and I put on some pounds during the last 6 or 8 months, and children are no different. But the concern is that with all this period of inactivity, like you said, no sports, even no recess at school where younger children have a chance to be active, that's not a good thing. And again, let me just encourage our listeners to try their very best to encourage their children or other children to be active. They need it at this time.
Boy, if there was a time for the church to step up, now is it. Everybody doing their part. And Ralph, you are certainly doing your part, keeping us informed on these important issues. If folks have questions about the great work going on at the Teaching and Learning Institute, where can they find you, Ralph?
Thanks, Bob. They can simply go to whyrun.org, whyrun.org.
All right, guys, great show as always. Issues in Education comes your way Mondays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Kind of cold and raw outside this afternoon. Many areas staying in the 40s. It may be able to nudge into the 50s in some central New York locations as well as northeastern Pennsylvania, but even there, it's not going to get unusually warm for this time of the year. The clouds will be solid through the afternoon. A couple of showers from time to time. The showers may end tonight, but the clouds will remain. And tomorrow we'll see some more shower activity, mostly later in the afternoon and during the evening, but there may be some lake effect showers along the Lake Ontario shoreline for a time in the morning tomorrow. The precipitation won't be all that heavy. Temperatures tomorrow, again, rather chilly. We should see things begin to clear out tomorrow night, and Wednesday looks like a much more pleasant day with some sunshine, a brisk breeze, but warmer temperatures with all areas on Wednesday getting into the 50s.
Okay, Ken, finally at noon, two veterans from northeastern Pennsylvania walking 170 miles across five counties this week to raise money for America's war heroes.
Every step that we take, every pain that we feel, we're doing it in honor of those who have served and sacrificed. So any thoughts that I'm going to have are going to be with them and their families. And we're doing this for them, and we're honored to do it.
Joe Webb and Cody McCormick, a couple of good guys. They're going to walk from the Delaware Water Gap to State College, Pennsylvania, to support the Wounded Warrior Project.
We're looking to make the best of it, take one day at a time, and we want to get each town we pass through behind us. We want to get the state behind us and raise as much money as possible for the foundation.
The vets plan to reach State College by Thursday afternoon and will accept donations right up until Veterans Day. That is the world we live in for a Monday. As always, thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.